Before I speak to you, let us pray. Come, come, Holy Spirit. May your words only be spoken, your voice only be heard. Amen. So, we're at the beginning of Lent. Lent, what does that mean to you? How does it make you feel? I have to confess that historically, Lent has given me that sort of sinking feeling. I have long ago memories of trudging from church to school on a Wednesday morning after a compulsory communion service. At church, the traditional music drops into a minor key. All that talk of giving things up. It can all feel pretty negative. We're still in the depths of winter, and most days the spring feels far away, but we know that each day the dawn is a little earlier and the sunset a little later. And the roots of the word Lent simply mean the lengthening of days and the dawning hope that longer days bring. So do we greet this season with hope? Could we perhaps greet it with joy? Lent is just beginning, and our readings this morning are all about new beginnings. In Genesis, after the flood has destroyed everything that was not in the ark, God makes a new covenant, a new agreement with Noah and his sons. Back in Genesis chapter 6, we're told that the wickedness of humankind was great upon the earth, and the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind, and it grieved him to his heart. And so the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, the people together with the animals and the creeping things and the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. After the destruction of the flood, God gives humankind a solemn undertaking that never again will he wreak the destruction of flood on that scale. In our reading this morning, God says, I establish my covenant with you, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is the sign of the covenant that I make for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds. It shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. God gives us a sign of a rainbow. And I don't know about you, but I always find that a rainbow is a sign of hope, a sign of the goodness of God, even when, or perhaps particularly when life is difficult. Have you ever thought that although rain brings the threat of flooding, there is never a rainbow without rain? God sets his bow in the clouds. It is a rainbow. The clue is in the name. So the destruction of the flood was a bit like God washing the earth of all that defiled it. But if we go on reading in Genesis, we find that it all went wrong again pretty quickly. And when we reflect on things that happened today, things like the shooting in Florida this week, we realize that that phrase in Genesis 6 about the wickedness of humankind upon the earth is still a pretty good description of what goes on. But there is no condition that humankind has to fulfill for the covenant to be valid. It is God's unconditional promise to us. Never again shall a flood destroy the earth. As Christians, we have baptism as a covenant sign, and those of us who have been baptized share in this sign as we are washed and made new in Christ. But it is a sign that we must own, a sign that we must choose to claim and to live by day and hour by hour, moment by moment. So we have seen that the Old Testament reading, we have the new beginning after the flood. In the New Testament reading, Jesus leaves the obscurity of life in Nazareth and starts out on his new ministry, a new beginning. All new beginnings involve leaving something behind in order to start something new. A new home, a new school, a new job, retirement, all new starts that involve leaving something behind. In our reading from Mark's Gospel, Jesus comes to John to be baptized. And Jesus does not need to have his sins washed away. He comes simply in obedience and marks the start of his life's work. All that has happened up to now is preparation. This is when the big story begins. And the new beginning will take him in obedience all the way to the cross. And God marks this moment of transition too. A voice comes from heaven. You are my wonderful son. You make me very glad. Your expectation of God as your father may well be coloured by the way that your parents brought you up and the way you related to them. My parents came from that generation that grew up during the war. They grew up emotionally tongue-tied. I'm sure they loved me very much, but often they didn't really quite know how to show it. And you will all have your own memories, some painful, some good. I don't know if you can remember the most positive thing that your parents ever said to you, but was it as positive as this? You are my wonderful son, my wonderful daughter. You make me very glad. Well, today, God says that to you. You are my dear child. I'm delighted with you. Can you dare to hear your name at the start of that sentence? You are my dear, dear child. I'm delighted with you. And Jesus sees heaven opened. Now that doesn't mean that he looked up and saw a little door ajar miles up in the sky. Heaven in the Bible means God's dimension beyond ordinary reality. God's dimension beyond ordinary reality. It's more like an invisible curtain right in front of us, being drawn back, and we stand in the presence of a different reality. It's a moment when heaven touches earth. For us too, baptism can be such a moment. And every time we have a baptism here, as we did last week, it's a chance for each of us who have been baptized to remember our own baptism. It's a chance to re-experience that moment when heaven touches earth and the veil in between thins. And sometimes we have that moment in prayer or in worship when the veil thins and heaven touches earth. God's Spirit touches us and we can hear again God's voice. You are my dear, dear child. I'm delighted with you. And this morning is a communion service. What happens when we break bread and share wine together is a great mystery. But as we come forward, maybe to receive a blessing or to receive the bread and the wine, it can be a moment when the veil thins and heaven touches earth. And God says to us, you are my wonderful son, my wonderful daughter. You make me very glad. And if you don't feel able to come forward yet, or you haven't been baptized, or you don't receive the bread and wine of communion, is today the day to talk to Alison or one of the team, or to ask for prayer? We're all on a journey. And sometimes we need help to take the next step. So greet Lent with hope. Greet it with joy. We celebrate the great love that God has for, he says to each of us, you are my own dear, dear child. I'm delighted with you. Amen.